This is college football at its absolute best.
Yeah, they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field. Going back is Sayre. And Tennessee can say hello, Wind Column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Josh McGrath for the win. He got it.
If you don't like college football, and you watch this one, I'm not sure what your problem is.
Read it, did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Thursday, April 11th, which means it's Masters Thursday. Today, I didn't get to watch much. It sucked, but it is what it is. It still feels so much better. It's good that it's Masters weekend. I'll try to watch some tomorrow. Saturday, I'll watch a lot. Sunday, I love Masters Week. Is just, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, it was fun today. This is probably like my first real time, like actually watching a lot of the Masters. So I enjoyed it. I enjoy the pageantry of it. I enjoy how it's kind of like a cult, I feel like. It's very cultish. Would you agree?
Yes and no.
In like a good way. Like, I mean.
Well, the reason I say no is I would compare it more to like, it's a massive holiday, like Christmas and Easter. What do we call people that go to church just on Christmas and Easter?
CEOs.
This is golf's version of CEOs.
Okay.
So, I mean, depending on your view of Christianity, I won't go as far to call it a cult, but I think it encapsulates so many people that I don't know if cult's the right word, because cult's usually like a very narrow group.
Yeah. I just think of like, all the caddies are dressed the same. It seems like all the kids and the wives are dressed.
You don't want to know that history, brother.
Oh, okay.
It's really not a bad history, but. Sorry, bad joke. You're just talking about how they wear the caddy bibs on during the practice or really during the par three.
That's what makes it par three seem tournament. Cultish to me. But it's cool. I like it. I don't know how, like, I want to know how thin they are because it seems like it's really hot there.
They're not coveralls. You can see through them a little bit. Yeah, there's been some scandalous moments, if you will.
Gotcha. They're more of like a, you know how like, I don't know how to describe it. Kind of like a costume almost. How it's kind of thin. Okay.
I would imagine with the way they do everything else, they do everything right. Okay. Everything that you can think would be perfect at a sporting event and then perfect at a golf tournament. That is how they do it at Augusta National. That is how they do the Masters. So I have to imagine it's probably some material we may not even know about. They may make it in the hidden parts of Augusta National. Like, these aren't made in a Chinese warehouse with little 12-year-old kids sewing them together. It's probably some material we don't even know about.
Okay, interesting.
The caddy bib that I got last year on Amazon was not comfortable. Cannot imagine that's what they're wearing.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, everybody's wearing them, so like, there's no way like you choose to wear that if it's not comfortable.
And obviously, the wives and kids, well, I guess sort of they choose. Obviously, they're not all the caddies, but there is the caddies do have to wear them, but not the wives and kids.
Yeah,
it is cute seeing like 6-year-old kids in those. That is grown men won't use the word cute. It's cool.
Unless you're whoever that Missouri coach is that has that sex tape out. So,
wait, what?
Oh, you didn't hear about this. Apparently,
when did this happen?
There's a Missouri football coach. Don't know exactly what Missouri football coach has a gay sex tape out, and it was
leaked. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. No, I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's just a rumor or, but it's interesting. I'll say that.
What happened to the Georgia scandal? Remember there was that, or LSU scandal. There was that story about a staff and player orgy after the SEC championship game. Yeah. Not this past year, but the year before. I mean, I'm going to guess it's not true because we haven't heard a single word about that.
Yeah, so much stuff like comes and goes. I guess there's just too much news where you just like kind of forget about that. And this was like, I guess, found out like yesterday or the day before. And now it's like not a lot of people are like making it a bigger thing than what it is. But I'm like, let's at least find out who it is. Because if it's Eli Drinkwitz, that should be huge news.
Yeah, not just
any kind of sex tape. That should be bigger news. I don't know.
I mean, I'm just happy that this because there's just not a lot to talk about. So I'm happy that this show's already gone off the rails. Like I love that. You just get started. Hot.
Yeah, we're about to get into some of Tennessee news.
I guess there is quite a bit with we'll start with the bad news, and that's really the only news. Yeah. But yeah, the transfer portal, man.
Giveth, taketh.
And right now it's just taketh in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just I think it's unfortunate because I feel like you could lose one of these guys probably because of the other, but the fact that you lose both of them is kind of alarming. Now, in looking at the transfer portal, like they can always come back, I guess. I don't know what the coaching staff meetings look like or anything like that, but it just not ideal for Tennessee to go into next season having one player from the high school ranks join this team with six open spots left.
Yeah, and that does make that point. That does make me think they would rather hit the transfer portal than take high school guys at this. Like they had to. They might not have expected this many people to leave. They may still not expect this many people to leave, but they knew they were going to have more than one spot open, and they only recruited one spot. So it makes me think they're going to hit the transfer portal anyways, which I find interesting. Because it hasn't worked until this year. This is literally the first time it's worked. And you did get two that – one that worked really well. We talked about it. Jordan Ganey would be the best transfer on this that Tennessee's had if not for Dalton Connect.
Right.
So it's worked. Now, I think it's interesting, Rick Barnes' style. He's going to have to hit the transfer portal hard no matter what. His style, you wouldn't think people could just come in and fit in seamlessly. So it's interesting that he's going to try.
That's the weird thing is like, I mean, now it's like a must. Whereas like, you know, maybe in the past you're like, oh yeah, we could take a transfer. You know, if they work out great, like we still got a pretty good team. But now it's like, hey, like you don't really have a team. the recruiting thing kind of makes me a little uneasy. Just bringing in one guy is weird anyway. And maybe, again, you didn't know, like, what you had coming in. But, I mean, you knew, like, at least two guys were leaving.
You knew three. You knew three scholarships.
Yeah, three. Leaving. Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's, again, that's why I say they had to know they were going to hit the transfer portal for some element. My silver lining with Awaka and Adu being in the portal, both back-to-back days, my silver lining is I think that means – that there is a big man that would compete and or would be the starter outright if he came that they're going after. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my silver lining. Now, I don't want to see either of them leave. I think it sucks. Adu has developed really well. He's a guy. I think I've said this on the podcast. I know I've said it to some people when we've talked about Adu. Adu is going to answer the question, how good would Kyle Alexander have been if he had one more year? He developed it feels like a very similar development path for both of them. And you feel like Kyle Alexander was a year behind and Adu is going to get that extra year. So that's really disappointing to see him leave. I will say this, as far as what pieces you can replace in the transfer portal, this is not a knock on Adu at all. I think you can replace Adu better than you can replace Awaka. Let me explain. Adu's obviously a big man. Outside of the freaking tournament, which sucks, has good touch. He's a rim protector. He has size, which you can't coach. But if you go to the portal, I think you can find someone similar traits to that. Now, at that level that he played with throughout the year, that consistency in the SEC, good question. You find out, but it's possible. Going out and in the portal, getting a big man that will play seventh man off the bench, will come in and give you quality minutes, will bang around, be incredibly physical, be a solid defensive player, scrap for points when he can, end up being as good as he was in March for you. I think that would be tough to go find in the portal. Find someone who will play as a seventh man, sixth man maybe next year, and be all that Awaka gave you.
Yeah.
So I think he's a tougher replacement.
And I was going to go into before Adu entered the transfer portal, when we were going to talk about Awaka, I'm like, you can't start. Like, the way basketball is played now, you can't start both Jonas and Awaka. It just doesn't work.
Right.
Like, the Memphis Grizzlies with Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, like, that doesn't work anymore with how, you know, you have 6'10 guys that can step out and shoot threes. Like, that just – it's unrealistic, and it stinks that you have guys like – I mean, Rick Barnes found both of these guys pretty under the radar, I would say, especially Tobe. But, I mean, he developed those guys into really good players, and, I mean, I don't know where to begin to even think of why they would want to leave, other than maybe Adu was upset he got benched in that Purdue game. But, man, you weren't playing well. Like, you're 6'11", and you shot 51% from the field. Like, and you don't shoot threes. So, that's why you were benched.
That was a team move, and it ended up working out best. And I know it has to sting as a competitor, but you also, in the sport you play, sometimes you have to recognize how the matchups played out and kind of how the chips fell. And you got to tip at that point, when Estrella played as well as he did, you got to tip your cap to your coach, he made the right move that night. It wasn't me. And I mean, I'm not shocked by Awaka entering the transfer portal, even though I said what I said. But I think the reason I say it'd be tough to go out and get an Awaka is because he's going to transfer somewhere he thinks he can start, right? It's the only reason you transfer. And if he's going to do that, he's going to have to transfer down for the reasons you just named. He's not going to be playing in the SEC. He's not going to be playing in the Big Ten, the ACC.
Yeah, I mean,
probably not even the Big East. Maybe somewhere in the Big East, but probably not.
Yeah, if somebody already has an established big man, yeah, he's probably not starting. Now, I mean, now with Tennessee, does he start with – if Jonas really is leaving and you wanted Tobe to come back, can you guarantee a starting job? I don't know. I mean, right now, I guess you would assume so, unless you go get a big man out of the transfer portal, but –
yeah, as it stands today, if he wasn't in the portal, he'd have to be your starter.
Yeah.
But I for the sake of the team, I mean, Tennessee has to go out and get someone bigger.
Yeah, and with Awaka, like, there's no he wasn't starting here because you don't know what you're gonna get. Like, he's not — you could get 25 really good minutes out of him, you could get 10 minutes out of him. You just don't know because he fouls a lot. He's always in foul trouble, and it's just hard to really, you know, plan a game plan when you don't know what you're getting out of Awaka.
And he's not a good offensive player. He gave you quality minutes on the offensive end a lot, but he's not a guy that can put the ball on the floor and make a move and go to the rim. He's just not that guy.
Yeah, and he's got a lot better this year than he was last year. So that's why I don't get, like, this is a program who has shown they've developed you into a better player, and you just – leave for — I mean, I know a lot of people always assume money, and maybe, like, I don't think with Adu, it's proximity to home because he's from Charlotte, so that doesn't make any sense. But maybe Owaka wants to go somewhere closer to home. Maybe the Big East, St. John, somewhere like that. Maybe he ends up there. I don't know.
I think it's
weird to me to have those two guys that have shown signs of development. And you just made the Elite Eight. It's not like you had a terrible season either. So there's just a lot of things I just have so many questions about in that decision. But
that's what makes me say money plays more into it than it should. And I don't know if I'm buying some of the NIL numbers that get thrown out because it just doesn't make sense to me. It
like
doesn't.
The Oregon State running back.
What was his? I didn't see that one.
They apparently he turned down an offer of $400,000 at Oregon State and entered the transfer portal. I'm like, good God, who is giving?
He might be a pretty good running back,
but yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who has that kind of money to just be throwing at a random running back in the Pac-12?
I mean, there was a post on VolQuest this week that I saw that if they're right, you were paying this Tennessee basketball roster this year well over $2 million.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how. And maybe I'm not in the dark. Maybe I don't know. And they didn't go into every player, but the players they named, you sit down and think about it and you go, that's a $2 million roster, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. But you probably have people in Owaka's camp, maybe that he trusts or maybe that he just knows, that are telling him, you can go make money somewhere else. You can make more money than this somewhere else. Same with Adu. You probably have people telling them that. And whether they can or not, I don't know. But if you have people telling you that, you'd probably listen.
I mean, you don't think a player like – or you don't think Adu – or not Adu, Tobey's inbox was full after that Texas game when he wasn't starting and he had 10 points and 5 rebounds in 11 minutes? You don't think a team that wasn't in the tournament at all is just texting him and be like, hey, man, like, you could start here. Man, you would average this a game. I mean, it's happened.
There's no tampering. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's just not true. No, I mean, it doesn't all make sense to me. There is a bias to me saying this for sure. I'm a Tennessee fan. But to be fair, we sat here and we said the Freddie DeLeon transfer makes sense. Like, those make sense. The DJ Jefferson one makes sense. He feels like a DJ Burns transfer. I'm sure he's great. He just wasn't a fit. This isn't the program for him for whatever reason, whether it's Tennessee's fault, whether it's his fault, I don't know. But it just, they were not cohesive. They were not on the same page. You could tell. And that's not, I mean, yeah, that starts with the suspension early in the year, but you could see it. And so, or I guess, did they announce it as a suspension or did they just say out? I don't remember.
No, I don't know. Yeah, he was suspended.
Yeah, but I think they may have kind of danced around that term, just not available or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there would be times where they'd put the walk-ons on the court and he wouldn't be on the court.
Yeah. So whatever, it just wasn't a fit for whatever reason. I don't know. Yeah. But that these Adu and Owaka ones, man, it doesn't make sense. And I think it was Billy, whatever his name is, tweeted today that everyone's gonna really appreciate during all this Santi and Josiah. And I mean, I appreciated them before all this happened, but yeah, I'm still gonna cheer for college sports. This is my old. Can I be an old man for a minute?
Yeah.
This sucks. Like, this sucks, man. It's not fun. I'm a fan of the transfer portal. I've said it should be in place. I do think there should be rules, restrictions. Maybe we have an entire show about our layout and how we envision college football, because I talked to Chad Mitchell. He called me the other night to ask me one question. We talked for 20 minutes about the transfer portal. And I didn't say all I had to say, but I'm for it. There are aspects to it that, in my opinion, don't work. There are aspects to it that make the product not as much fun to watch. It doesn't make it worse. It's just, it's not a product I entirely enjoy.
Yeah, and what you're saying, like, it does suck because I think this is not a place Tennessee has been in a long time because of guys like John Fulkerson and Josiah Jordan James and Santi that stay the length of their career at the same school. And I think that's going to become very rare.
Oh, yeah. You're,
and so you're going to appreciate those guys more. And when they leave, like, they're the ones that change your program. Now, like, every now and then you might get a Dalton Connect that absolutely, like, lights the world on fire and has that. But the true, like, builders of a program are the guys that stay.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to build foundations, and it's going to be tough for new unestablished coaches to build something that's consistent year in, year out, especially in a sport like basketball where two guys leaving flips your roster.
Yeah.
Football, it takes a little bit more. It'd still be tough, but it takes a little bit more to flip your roster like that. And so basketball is going to be real tough. Good news is basketball is a sport where you can get guys to play together in a matter of months, but it's still, that doesn't mean year in, year out, you're going to be a solid program. Probably makes what Dan Hurley just did even more impressive, honestly.
Yeah.
We'll see. I won't be shocked if there are people from UConn that's freaking started and transferred in at this point. We've seen it before. Just like you said, it hadn't happened in Tennessee where really good players are transferring from schools and you're like, what the heck is happening?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's just chasing dollar signs and chasing out. And
I would like to see what the transfer portal would look like without NIL. Like, just like to see what it would. I think there would be definitely a lot less transfers, and I think it would make it more of like, oh, I'm moving on because I'm not playing. Or but now it just seems like it's, hey, let me – and I mean, do you? If you think you're worth more, I think I would be curious on what I was worth if I was in a D1 program at some point. And if you come back, great, but – I don't know. I don't know how Rick Barnes even operates this. Would he even allow somebody to come back after they enter the transfer portal? I don't know.
Yeah. Who's the coach that said, once you enter, you're gone? It was a football coach. Who was it?
It's probably Dabo Swinney.
Well, he would say that, but he would still take the best players back. He's
exactly.
Not, he's not what I would call truthful. A little two-faced, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I'm a coach, I guess that's where you also just got to be comfortable enough to say, I know what I've got in my program, blah, blah, blah. If you enter the transfer portal and you see, before you leave, you see the grass getting greener, you know, we'll welcome you back. But also, it's one of those things, if you wait till the deadline, I've got a job to do. I got to go build a team. So I can't promise your scholarship will be waiting for you.
Yeah.
Which I do think Adu is interesting because he's also feeling the NBA draft process out.
And I think that's another thing that's difficult with the transfer portal is you're like, yeah, I would love to contact this kid. But at the same time, like, are we going to have spots at that time after they're done with the NBA? Or do they even come back? Or I just wasted my time? Yeah.
Can we recruit and can we offer these guys? And can we? Yeah. It's another hurdle for sure.
Yeah. Maybe we just call Coach Cal and be like, hey, what's it like building a whole new team every year? You do it. So what's it like?
We can get into it if you want. So Kentucky, so Cal's such a good recruiter that he didn't have NIL at Kentucky and he had these rosters. Is that what his team's putting out there?
I don't know, man. I know they would love to redo the last couple days. I know that.
Well, and then I don't think Kentucky fans are aware they're doing some of that bidding for Cal. They're saying that he didn't have NIL. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, guys. So you don't think those guys are getting paid? Those guys that came to campus, you don't think they were getting paid?
Yeah.
You know what? Yes, they've had a hard few days. Let's give this to them. They came to the University of Kentucky because they bleed blue, baby. Scratch them.
Yeah. You have some of those guys that went to, like, Malik Monk was like, I'll be in Bud Walton Arena. They have no allegiance to Kentucky.
They were there for a semester, maybe. They have no allegiance
to them. You saying they don't go to classes in the spring?
No, hell no.
You just got to be eligible one time, baby.
Yep, that's it.
Just got to pass four classes.
Yeah, it's
That's a
rough go. Before we really move on, you know, I know a lot of people are just like, who are we getting in the transfer portal? So before you really dive into Kentucky, because I'm sure we're going to talk about this for a little bit.
Oh, we can. I didn't know, but we can.
Yeah, I'm in. I mean, there's some names out there. You know, the Dubar kid from Hofstra, who's a 6'8 guard, started his career at Iowa State, averaged around 17, 18 points per game. He's going to come on a visit. And other than that, like, there's guys that you've kind of talked to. Tyson at Belmont, the small forward, exciting white. Other than that, there's not really a whole lot of, like, stuff out there about who Tennessee's reaching out to. I mean, those are the only guys that we've kind of know already. I mean, you would love to reach out to the – you'd love to see Tennessee reach out to the guy at Arizona. You know, whatever, however you say his name, I'm not even going to try it. But the big guy from Arizona, Trey Townsend from Oakland, you'd love to see them kind of get on him. We'll see. I'm sure some of those guys, this is probably their, a lot of those smaller schools, like this is their first time really going through an actual recruiting process, like this. So, they're probably going to take their time, and I think that's good for Tennessee, who has six spots to fill.
Yeah, this may be a you get a scholarship year. You get a – we're going to see some fun videos come out of
Also, I mean, they could get some high school players, I guess, like guys getting out of their NIL – or NIL – NLI – because like a coaching change and everything like that. I don't like how they're so close together, the letter of intent and name, image, likeness, but whatever. Yeah, it's not a lot.
It is Ballo, really, by the way.
Ballo, okay, yeah.
So I've heard it pronounced several ways, so I was curious. Also, it kind of – the pronunciation, what do you call that? The pronunciation guide, it looked like Ballo, which I've heard it said that way. But I swear I just heard him say it, and it was Ballo. So,
gotcha. Well, he's played in TBA before, so.
He has. I think we hated him. Oh, so that'd be funny.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't really know what to do with this transfer portal, but.
No, I mean, you got a lot to figure out. The good thing is, like, Tennessee has done a good job of putting a good roster together every single time. I think it's just a little bit more of an uphill battle this time around than what you've had in the past.
Yeah, I agree.
The silver lining I had, I know you had one earlier. The silver lining I have, Zakai Ziegler is still on your roster.
You hope. If he's gone, that is where I draw the line with the transfer portal, and I will be entering. I don't even know if I'll be entering the transfer portal, because it's not like I'll be looking for another team to be sad about. I'll probably just be sad forever about Zakai Ziegler not finishing his career at UT.
Yeah, I think we just end this podcast if Zakai Ziegler enters.
Agreed.
Just done. Quit. Yeah, let's get into Coach Cal a little bit. I mean, not really Coach Cal, because he just kind of left, and then they didn't want to match like what he wanted to make to come back, and then.
Which, to be fair, how do you get better than a lifetime contract?
Right. I don't know.
They're all just looking around the room thinking, but do you know what your contract says?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know where Arkansas fans seem a bit more patient than most. So I guess it's a good spot for a successful coach to go and have time to not work out. But you're going to have the same expectations. And then you just got done arguing with your coach about if it's a football school or a basketball school at the University of Kentucky. Arkansas hangs their freaking pride on their track program. They got 27 national championships.
where you forgot the Omahogs.
And have you heard? Oh, I was getting there, buddy. Okay. Their dang baseball program is, yeah, the star of the show. I mean, do you know how many bikes they would crash to win a national championship in baseball? It's too many. It's too many. And then you have football. Buddy. It's a crazy move. And they can be successful at basketball. You've seen it. But it's a crazy move when you look at Cal's history. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. The good thing is, if they are wanting, if they're just thinking about their basketball program, I think they got a better deal than keeping Must Bus. I don't know what his contract looks like, but, and I assume it's probably more than, it is more than Musselman. Is it?
Yeah. Million? I don't know what the number is, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
They came out in some regards on the better end, but I also think it's one of those where, going back to Kim Caldwell hire, we've talked about on the show. I love the contract clause of you win a national championship, they're paying her a competitive salary, but you win a national championship, we will pay you what a national championship coach deserves to get paid.
Absolutely.
And I like that style better than saying, let's go get a proven winner. And then in the back of your mind, you're like, let's pray it's not past their time. Jimbo Fisher, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just you're paying a lot of money for a lot of ifs.
Yeah.
Because just like players, coaches require fit too. Nick Saban would have been incredibly successful wherever he goes. But part of the reason he was successful at Alabama is because Nick Saban somehow got those boosters by the balls. And he said, I'm running this program above everyone else. And I don't think they turned the keys over to another coach like that.
No.
And I don't know if Nick Saban can do that at another program, can own the program like he did at Alabama.
Until Roll Tide Willie gets the program.
Yeah, that man. And that's not to say Nick Saban wouldn't have been successful. He would have been. He already had a national championship at LSU. I just don't know if it would have been the same level of success, which is no one will match it. So why should we expect Nick Saban to match it anywhere else?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Getting these quote unquote, proven winners, they win national championships, paying them a national championship level salary. And then what happens when they don't win national championships? You pay them $100 million to go away.
Yeah. I mean, that's
the, have nothing that's to show thing. For it.
I mean, Kentucky had, I think they had a plan and thought like, we'll get rid of Cal in that lifetime contract because we're already tired of, losing in March like this. And I would be kind of fed up too with that. Also, probably wouldn't have been okay with a lifetime contract. but that's whatever. But they don't have a plan. They have nobody. I mean, they're going to wait on Billy Donovan, who isn't going to do anything until after his season's over. They haven't even started the playoffs yet. The Bulls are in the playoffs. I mean, they got to do the play-in tournament, whatever NBA thing that they're doing now. Who cares? I have trouble keeping up with it. It changes all the time. But they're going to wait for that because they struck out with Drew at Baylor, and then they called Danny Hurley, but you knew the answer to that.
Yeah, and that's one of my stupidities is – What a delusional line of thinking. If I'm Mitch Barnhart, I don't make that phone call. I just come out and say, he said no. I'm not calling that guy. I'm not that stupid.
He's still drunk.
Such a delusional line of thinking to think they were going to get Dan Hurley out of the Northeast off two national championships.
Yeah.
That's a wild line of
thinking. They think so much of that program. And I'm just like, man, I thought we were delusional.
And that's, I mean, to be fair, there are Tennessee fans that run that line. But yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing, we don't have the people thinking that way that run the programs anymore. So that's good.
True. And something on the Scott Drew thing. First off, I feel like his name should be Drew Scott. It just seems easier to say. Right? Am I crazy?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so he posted, you know, that picture he posted at a diner in Waco?
Mm-hmm.
So a Kentucky fan went on, and there's a Family Feud playing in the background. I screenshot this, so I can't see the whole thing, but the gist of their post was on a message board said, "The Family Feud playing in the corner was an episode from 2020. The TV guide said they were airing an episode from 2022 that day that he posted the picture." And so he was like, I think this picture is a deke. He thinks Scott Drew posted that lying and he's going to go to Kentucky later. But I love that he looked that up. Seems the picture wasn't from that day. Based on a Family Feud episode airing. So that's wild. My stupidity to go on that is someone said, wait till they discover what reruns are. So regardless, if he was watching Family Feud today at that diner, it would have been a rerun. So they knew that. He was saying that's not an episode from today. He went to the TV guide. Do you get confused about what year it is, though? Because I do. That's a stupidity. He clearly stated a rerun was playing today. But, like, if someone said that's an episode from 2022, I might have been like, yeah, that's this year. It's all start. I don't know if it's my age or if I'm just getting dumber. But I just kind of forget what year it is all the time.
Sure, yeah.
So I level with that guy a little bit. Still don't know what reruns are. That guy that stated it. But in terms of not knowing what year it is, I'm with that all the time, man.
Yeah, and then they're like pivoting to is it Mark Pope
at BYU? Oh, they're already pivoting past Donovan. I thought they were all in the camp for Donovan.
Well, that looks like the most. If Donovan says no, it's going to be Mark Pope. Or if, because like the NBA playoffs could last. I mean, the Bulls could be playing for a month.
Okay, so let me give you a scenario where Kentucky's on the right side of this and they might be getting Billy Donovan. And I'm not saying and that's not me personally saying it. It's just if logical. If you're okay. Mitch Barnhart, you've talked to his agent or you talked to him back through back channels. Mm-hmm. And you just said, is the interest there? Should we wait around? And they've said yes. If you haven't done that yet and you're just going to wait, just burn the program down. Right?
Yeah, that's not I mean, you could be in a world of hurt. And then they said like another I read a thread from Matt Jones and their next tier, Billy Donovan was that tier one still. The next tier would be Mark Pope and Bruce Pearl. I'm like, there's no way Bruce Pearl is leaving Auburn.
I would have talked to Bruce Pearl before I talked to Dan Hurley, though.
Yeah. But this Mark Pope guy, so did a little bit of research on him. Okay. Wanted to figure out, like, okay, like who are they possibly getting? He did play at Kentucky. He transferred there from Washington, went there the last 2 years.
Scratching.
Yep. And that's the only thing that I can find that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the only tie. He was an assistant at Georgia, assistant at Wake Forest, assistant at BYU, was a head coach at Utah Valley from 2015 to 2019 and has been at BYU since 2019. His head coaching record – at Utah Valley, it was 77-56. Pretty cool.
Seems good.
And then 187-108 at total because BYU, he's 110-52. He has not made it out of the round of 64 in the NCAA tournament at BYU. He's made the tournament twice in 5 years.
I think he sounds like, I don't know why you're talking crazy. He sounds like right up their alley.
I mean, the one thing that they were tired of Cal for, they're going to hire the same guy who recruits worse and has never been a head coach at this level.
Well, Landon, it's Kentucky. And think if Cal did what he did without NIL, what could a coach that isn't as proven that they would certainly give NIL money to, think about what he could do.
Yeah, just imagine a former Kentucky player, how well they could recruit guys to Kentucky with NIL.
I'm assuming this guy's, what is it, Mark Pope?
Yeah.
He's a coach at BYU.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming he's incredibly white. Was he a good player at Kentucky?
He was like, he looks like Dirk with like a bald head.
Okay. He's like They've had some exciting whites, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But just like every college basketball program, most of them sit in the back of the bench.
Mm-hmm. He's like if Christian Laettner and John Fulgerson had a baby, I guess. Like, he's like that white.
Gross.
But then they're going to go Billy Donovan, who hasn't coached in college in like 10 years. And now he's going to have to deal with recruiting again, NIL, transfer portal. I mean, what in the world? And he hasn't really had a successful team in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know why he ever left college basketball. That's kind of wild to me.
But yeah, that's their top tier guy. I mean, it's bad for Kentucky. It's bad.
Well, you know,
I hate it for him.
Yeah, you have to just.
I mean, them having the absolute meltdown that they're having is preventing me from having a semi meltdown about the transfer portal with us.
Okay.
It's just keeping me sane, I guess.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed the last few days of Kentucky, whatever's happened. When we go to Arkansas in the fall, we're going to just walk around Friday and hope to run into Cal walking his dog.
Yeah.
That's our plan. Also, I don't think you can call it walking your dog if your dog isn't walking.
Yeah, you're pushing your dog.
You are just out on a walk and your dog happens to be with you, which is fair. That's fine. But you can't call it walking your dog.
Right. Is their dog old? I don't know.
I don't know. Do you see where Brutus has put on like 12 pounds since last year?
Dude, he's living his best life. He's a
freaking unit. when they were like 71, I was like, oh, yikes. Yeah, we're gonna be hitting the track here soon.
Get that man going. Start throwing the ball. Or dude, he likes soccer, doesn't he?
He's still an athlete, man. They're going to move him from wide receiver to tight end. All right.
Okay.
Might end up at fullback. I don't know.
Get that man a Cowboys collar and let's ride.
He's going to play H-back, okay?
Another guy that Tennessee has looked at in the transfer portal is Rodney Gale. I forgot to mention that, from Ohio State, a guard. So a lot of guards, not a lot of bigs, and the bigs are the guys we lost. So,
yay, fun.
Going to be interesting for sure.
Five guards. Yep. Never look back.
There you go. Yeah, we'll just be FAU. Wow. Estrella in the middle, and we just have four guards that can score.
Give me one good reason why not.
Honestly, doesn't sound bad. You have a facilitator like Zakai?
No comment.
Let's do it.
You can't run into another 7'4", just whistle happy dude again 2 years in a row. It's not possible.
Purdue's going to try. They're absolutely going to try to have another 7'4" guy. But yeah, if that happens, we just don't take the court.
Matt Painter got mentioned in the Kentucky search. So,
okay, cool. Honestly, I don't like Purdue. I kind of like Matt Painter.
I don't. I probably would as a Tennessee coach. Don't get me wrong, but him and McDermott in the tournament just really pissed me off. Their team's flopping around them begging for fouls. I think they're both soft.
That's fair.
I despise coaches who allow their teams to flop around and also ask for a whistle. Do one or the other. Okay.
Honestly, though, have you this is a legit. Have you liked a coach that Tennessee's played?
I don't know about. Well, I don't know if there are coaches that I don't hate that Tennessee's played. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's the ones that cry and whine for whistles, that yell at the refs, that run onto the court.
That's where I was getting at. The guys that run on the court. Yeah.
And I even said this week, I was like, I like Dan Hurley a lot. I don't think I'd like him if Tennessee played him often.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So it's a lot to do with Tennessee seeing a lot of these guys, but there's coaches I just don't really care for. And then there's coaches that Tennessee's played. Maybe not. I'm trying to think of an SEC coach that I would say I like. The only one right now is Lamont Paris at South Carolina, and that could turn to hate real quick.
Yeah.
That's the only one right. It's the only one I can think of off the top of my head that I'll like. But there are plenty. I mean, Tennessee hadn't played them, right?
No. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm just saying, like, that's a coach. Like, I feel like if we played them, we'd still like him.
Yeah. A guy that Tennessee's played this year that I did not have a problem with, even though one of his players was a word I will not use right now, but like Rodney Terry, he coached his team hard and he was more theatrical than I thought. He was kind of all over the floor. He was real fired up in and out of timeouts, but he wasn't.
Do you like Mike White?
I don't have a problem. I mean, I don't have a like or dislike for him.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to go full on eight. Yeah, I can't. He's at four.
I know. I'm trying to think of an instance though where I really had a problem with him and something he did. And I don't like Chris Beard, but it has nothing to do with him as a basketball coach.
Yeah. Mike White did try to defend like his player for hitting John Fulgerson.
He did. Yeah. You're right. I don't remember what he said though, so I won't go full dislike yet until I go back to that. And I used to like Buzz. I did used to like Buzz Williams at Virginia Tech. And I don't know if he's always been the way he is now or if that's a new thing, but obviously I didn't watch him a lot at Virginia Tech. I just watched, very minimal of him. Who?
Stephen Pearl.
He doesn't count. He's not a head coach. He doesn't get my most dislike.
Okay.
I mostly laugh at Stephen Pearl.
Okay.
I think Buzz Williams is probably my most hated coach. And it started out as more of just a get him off the court.
Yeah.
And then I cheered for him hard in 2022 when they got shafted by the committee. I've tried to give Buzz Williams his roses, man. He just won't take them. He just stomps on him mid-court in the middle of the game.
Insubordinate and churlish.
I like Calipari.
Yeah, if he wasn't like at Kentucky, I feel like I wouldn't really have much of a problem with him.
I cannot stand his just smugness on the sidelines, man. Oh, I can't. That jacket pull thing he does actually might be my biggest pet peeve in the world. And then that face that we use every time they lose that you tweet out. The fact that that's a real picture taken in a game, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's going to be – now I get to do it. Arkansas is the worst team in the conference. I get to do it a lot more now that he's at Arkansas. So, it for Arkansas and Kentucky.
What's going on in those southern but not really southern states, Missouri and Arkansas, man? Things are getting weird up there. We got to get the Ozarks under control.
Yeah. Another weird southern team is coming to town this weekend.
I like that.
LSU, baby. It's going to be a big weekend. You got the Orange and White game. I know we're going to talk about that for a little bit, but first I do want to get into let's get into some baseball before we get into that.
Before we go full on baseball, is Will Wade in consideration for the Kentucky job? Yeah, just a yes or no, I guess.
Donnie Tindall.
Okay, but Will Wade actually won games, to be fair.
Konzo.
Why not? Let's find out if Kentucky's actually racist or not. Isn't that right? Which guy was that? Was that Pat Forty that called Tennessee fans racist for not wanting Konzo anymore?
Actually, you know what? They should hire Kelly Harper, because if they don't, they're sexist.
Is that a thing? We've been saying that.
You want to make your program relevant, hire a woman.
Fair. Can we talk, speaking of women's basketball, I know we just totally sidetracked from LSU. Can we talk about people I hate, but I have to defend right now? Not even defend. I think this isn't defend. So, John Adams, he asked the question at the presser. I don't have it verbatim, but essentially the gist of it was, is your style going to work at this level of college basketball? What's wrong with that question? Why are people so upset about that question? It seems like a very fair question to ask. It seems like one of those questions that a journalist at that kind of presser has to ask.
Sure.
So much has been put. Danny White emphasized her style of basketball. Why is that not a fair question?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that same question was probably asked to Heupel. It just wasn't magnifying, because I don't think Heupel has he doesn't have any kind of attitude to put on it. He's like, well, I did it at Missouri. That was in this league. So, yeah. I think it'd be fine.
I mean, I think she answered the question great. The only way you could, I would probably it probably would have been less impressive to me if she had tried to go in and explain it, but instead she just kind of puts it plain as day and says, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think it could. I think it's a great answer. I think it's an okay question. In fact, I think it's a question. I think we talked about this every week. When you're a journalist and when you cover the team, there are questions you have to ask when you go in there, depending on the situation, depending on what you're doing. Every Thursday when you go into Heupel's presser, someone has to ask about the injury update. He's going to say the same thing every time. But you can't not ask it knowing what he's going to say, because maybe one day you'll get something. Maybe one day he'll answer the question. But you have to ask it. And I think the same thing, someone had to ask about her style of play, because so much emphasis has been put on it. And I think she's not running some brand new crazy system. It's been ran at this level. So it's not something, but I just think it's not a great question, because you know you're not going to get a beautiful answer out of it, an elegant answer. Well, John, I don't know how much you know about basketball. That would have been a great follow-up. Yeah. But I hate John Adams. I think he's a grimy journalist. I think he takes as many low shots as he possibly can. He hits below the belt every chance he gets.
Also, is he not the guy who tweets out like Khalil McKenzie through the years?
I don't think he runs that Twitter account, but that'd be funny to find out. We can just say he does if you want.
Okay. Yeah.
It's cool. But yeah, I just hate John. It's okay to hate John Adams and think he maybe does his job every once in a while, guys.
Yeah.
And then also, last thing about Kim Caldwell, why does it matter what color her jacket is?
Dude,
Josh Heupel wore a black jacket at his intro presser. At least she wore blue.
Oh my God. Dude, that drives me up a wall. We just have to pick something to just freaking complain about. Like, how unhappy are you in your normal life to pick something out so stupid, when it obviously had, it would be different if it was Kentucky blue.
Yeah, right. Right.
The whole thing is like the Lady Vols brand. Yeah.
We just freaked out about that like 5 years ago.
Yeah, here we are. I would just wish it was also more orange.
I can't remember fully. I know Josh Heupel didn't wear an orange one. The only coach that I can remember wearing an orange jacket at their presser was Tony Vitello.
Yeah, It probably wasn't even the right shade of orange.
No, I think it was close. It was. Not.
The shirt that he did when he signed that. That was not orange. Yeah, I don't understand that. I thought she did great in her press conference. I thought she answered. The only thing she's lying to us, number one, when she thinks she'll never sing Rocky Top Out Loud, she's going to sing it. She just doesn't know the words yet. And I understand that. You don't want to sing it right now because you don't know all the words. When you learn all the words, you're going to sing it. It just happens, even when you don't mean to.
You're at least going to, you know, whistle along and then woo, like, at least.
Yeah.
Also, I took that as, like, she can't sing, which maybe she's just a basketball girl.
She I took that, too. There's more people like, oh, she's not going to last in the SEC. It's like, good God. Her jacket. I mean, let's not even waste our time with her coaching a basketball game. Let's just get her out.
Did you ask Raven if she would let you be her assistant coach? If she was a basketball coach or, you know, whatever?
Oh, we would fight so much. There's no way. There's no way.
You don't think she'd let you?
No, she wouldn't hire me. She couldn't pay me enough.
All right, sorry. Unless you baseball, I apologize.
Baseball. So a big weekend, and this, you know, you got the orange and white game. You know, you got LSU on Saturday at 5:30. You got LSU tomorrow night at 7:30. Going to be a late game. Interesting kind of pitching matchup with these two teams who have kind of been rivals the last couple years since Tony Vitello's got this program where it needs to be. And, you know, LSU has been good at baseball for a long time. And now they got Jay Johnson after we sent Paul Maneri on that retirement tour. That was fun. And, you know, this team is just kind of not met expectations this year.
Some weird scores from them.
Yeah. I think they're a good baseball team. Obviously, they lose a lot of guys. They don't have Paul Skeens. They don't have a Paul Skeens. They don't have Dylan Cruz. Nowhere close to Dylan Cruz. Trey Morgan's gone. Just a lot of guys off that team last year that, you know, they're kind of missing. And I think Tennessee has some that they're missing. I mean, definitely they'd love to have a Burns or Dolander right now when you're having to deal with some injuries in the bullpen, just not performing the exact way you want it to. So it's going to be interesting. And they've kind of moved Luke Holman, who is an Alabama transfer, who, you know, chose LSU over Tennessee. So would love to get that win over him. They moved him to Saturday. And he's their ace by far. So I think Gage Jump is going to start on Friday. You know what that tells me? That tells me that they know Tennessee has struggled on Friday, and they think, oh, we don't have to use our ace to win on Friday. That's what that tells me. So I hope that's some bulletin board material of like, hey, they think they can pitch whoever. Now, I know Gage Jump isn't bad. He's pitched pretty well so far this year, but they think they can.
But they're throwing their best on Saturday.
Yeah, they think they can get away with not pitching their ace on Friday because they think they can beat you, and they're going to try to beat you on Saturday to get the series. So it's going to be an interesting matchup on Saturday with Luke Holman, Drew Beam. I think they were roommates when they played for Team USA this past summer.
They were roommates?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I didn't do it right. They were roommates.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would have been nice to have landed Luke Holman.
You don't know that. But, you don't know that Vine, do you?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
They were roommates. I don't know. I'll have to get the cadence right. I think I'm missing it. But you don't know the line anyway, so it doesn't matter. It wouldn't have landed.
I apologize. I ruined that one for you. But yeah, I think they are a better baseball team than kind of the record is. They've kind of had a tough go of it in SEC play, lost a series to Mississippi State, lost it to Florida. got swept by Arkansas, and then got beat by Vandy. So they played some really good teams down the stretch here, and you know they've put up some big numbers in some midweek games, and you know when they faced decent pitching, they've kind of not played very well.
Yeah, they've also lost to Southern and Stony Brook, too.
They have. In that mix. They have. They have.
Which we've talked about this with Florida. Like, that doesn't make you a bad baseball team, but you're definitely not winning how you should.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a team who absolutely misses Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz. they don't score the amount of runs that they were last year, and they're not having a guy that can – you know, throw 150 pitches of no run baseball and not have to use a single bullpen arm.
Yeah.
In that same game. So yeah, they've been run ruled a few times, and you know, they only have three guys batting over 300 right now. So, I mean, it's been a struggle for them. Obviously they have a really talented third baseman in Tommy White who can hit it all over the field. You know, he's probably going to be a professional baseball player at some point. But other than that, like, they don't have guys that can really just light it up. Mm-hmm. There's not guys besides Tommy White in there that you're like, oh, I can't – like, we can't really pitch to those guys. Now, Tennessee has a lineup where, like, hey, if you put him on base, you're just setting yourself up for failure, and that's what happened on Tuesday with Alabama A&M. You know, you walk Tennessee, you start loading the bases, Tennessee's going to make you pay for it. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. It'd be good to get another series win out of this. I don't know what you're going to do on Friday. That's TBD. It looks like, you know, they might be making a change with AJ Causey because he has been getting shelled the past two Fridays. And it hasn't been good. Now, I don't know what you do. I like what you're doing with Xander and Nate Snead on Sunday. You know, Drew Beam, you know, get you – six innings of solid baseball. You have Kirby, Aaron Combs, whatever you're going to do. I just don't really know what you're going to do with AJ Causey because you haven't really been in this situation because AJ Causey's either been dominant or he's been terrible and you're down so much where you just pitch whoever. Mm-hmm. So if you don't start AJ Causey, who gets that start? Is it Stamos? Maybe. I don't know if you go with Aaron Combs because the sidearm action is so similar. I just don't think that would match up very well. Maybe you go Stamos. I don't know. I think you don't really mess with Sunday because you like what you got with Nate Snead and Xander there. Do you go Kirby? Maybe start Kirby? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see kind of what they do with that because, you know, obviously things just aren't going great with AJ Causey. Right. So I see him probably coming in relief and, you know, seeing if that helps a little bit. It's either been really good or really bad for AJ Causey the last couple of weeks. So, don't really know what you're going to get out of that.
Right. Yeah. You knew there'd be some trouble on the pitching front and then questions the starters and you hope it'd be established by now, I guess, or, you know, at least some of those questions answered and several reasons, injuries being one of them. You're at a point you just don't know right now. Still a lot of baseball left to play.
Right.
You just would like to get it figured out sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And if they want to, you know, just go toe for toe. Well, we'll just go home run for home run like Georgia did. We can win those games too. So, you know, I feel good about it. I feel good about the series. I think Tennessee has a better lineup. And I think Tennessee has just as – Luke Holman is really good. Now, other than that, I really don't know much about them pitching-wise. But I like the matchup with Drew Beam and Luke Holman and – you know, if Tennessee can get something out of that bullpen, I think Tennessee should be just fine this weekend.
Yeah.
Let's just go kick their ass.
Should be a fun series.
They ended our season last year. Have that in the back of your mind. This is kind of personal. You know, there was a lot of guys that were still on that team last year. Drew Beam, you know, Kirby, Xander. There was
Blake Burke,
Christian Moore, Tears, Dryling, all those guys. Hunter Ensley. So,
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go out there and make a statement. I don't know if you're going to get Billy Amick back mentioned this week. I doubt it. They said he hoped to be on the active roster this weekend, but hasn't really been hitting much. So I just doubt you see him this weekend.
Yeah.
But Barger's mentioned playing bulletin well, board
so. Right. You mentioned bulletin board material. Doesn't seem like Vitale is that kind of coach, which shocked me. He seems like a I'll get you amped up kind of coach. Mm-hmm. But from what we've been told, doesn't really do that. So that's an interesting little tidbit about him. But yeah, those, like you mentioned, those guys should remember that. Got to imagine.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. See a little, they kind of dominate college baseball. So, you know, again, there's no more Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens who are kind of,
and you win
once in a lifetime guys that end up in college baseball.
And when you win this series, build another Jumbotron in Lindsey Nelson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and let's send Jay Johnson packing.
I don't mind Jay Johnson. His pants are a little weird.
He's like too
small. He is definitely a middle-of-the-road guy. I don't like or dislike him. We'll see about after this weekend.
It's just like that people want to crown him as a great coach. He did win a national championship, but he also like – he didn't recruit Dylan Cruz. He didn't recruit Trey Morgan.
He got in a good spot.
Yeah, he was kind of given the keys to a Ferrari.
He didn't crash it. His name.
He hasn't crashed it, no. If they keep on down this road that they're on right now, I mean, guardrail. I don't know.
But to be fair, at this point, it's not a Ferrari. But he made the most of that Ferrari that he was given.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did he go maybe trade it in for like a Lexus that's going to break down eventually? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they told him at least it was really used.
He didn't crash the Ferrari though. He came out on the other end of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, but 3-9 in the conference, 16-7 at home is just not like LSU at all.
No, he's not. I'm not saying he's doing well by any means, but in terms of the actual team, the program he's handed, obviously, is incredible. It's the team he was handed, though, he didn't crap the bed with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to make some of those guys who transferred to LSU kind of regret that this weekend. Be like, man, if I was just on Tennessee, like it would be so much better.
Yeah, and then they'll go back to Fred's next week and they'll remember why they went to LSU. Yeah.
Speaking of Fred's.
Nice.
All right.
Orange and white.
Orange and white. We got a question in here. Blake Gregory says, can't believe Adu left. What is happening? Sorry I'm late. Nah. Portal. I mean, I don't really know what else it is other than, you know, trying to see what you're worth. And, you know, maybe there was some issues somewhere. Maybe there's some hurt feelings about what happened in the tournament. I don't know. Not good. And need to replace some guys. Somebody did mention the Indiana State transfer, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I'm all in. They want to bring him to Tennessee, I'll be all in.
Agreed.
Can he get a good whistle? Can we get a Zach Edey whistle with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Probably not.
If he does, let's magically say he does come here. He has to wear the goggles. Don't get him contacts. Don't get him LASIK. He's wearing goggles.
Okay. Yeah. Goggle dog.
Oh yeah.
Goggle Vol.
Goggle Vol.
It just doesn't sound.
Voggle.
Voggle.
No.
We'll think of something.
We'll just put Smokey in goggles.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Orange and white game. I thought we could just kind of stay of like what we want to see, who we want to see, basically, because, again, you're not going to learn a whole lot about this orange and white game. You're probably not going to see a whole lot either.
I was about to say, I don't know. And then plus, have we even gotten the full injury list? Like, how many people are going to be injured come Saturday? I mean,
it's going to be like the oars on the depth chart. That's
how honestly, many injuries we're going to have. We just need to move to an NFL Pro Bowl type week, where every night throughout the week they just do stuff to get fans out there and watch them.
I mean, yeah,
do
I think
dumb do dodgeball games and whatever dumb stuff, fun stuff they're doing nowadays.
And then we on the show on Sunday can make sure that we're breaking down like whoever's good at dodgeball, how that can
correlates, yeah,
yeah, to being good on the football field.
Yeah, you know, his he wasn't getting low enough. I don't know if his if he's got the bend for it.
If you can't dodge a wrench, you can't miss it. You can't have a missed tackle.
I don't know if he's got the competitiveness. He just didn't seem to want it out there on the dodgeball court. So I don't know if he has competitiveness to play in the SEC. Yeah, I think you moved to it. But I do think for Saturday, I would rather watch a bunch of 7-on-7, which it doesn't exactly translate to football. But versus what you'd see him do in full pads, I think I'd rather watch 7-on-7 because it'd be more fun, and you just get to see the guys be freak athletes.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of scoring. Make it interesting.
Yeah. Let the big men watch. They've had a hard spring. They've grinded all spring. Let the big men watch.
It's going to be very bland, if I had to guess. Now, one guy that I am interested in seeing because of what you have at running back is DeShawn Bishop.
Yeah, that's true.
How much does he really like play? I don't know, because he's your number two right now with Cam Seldon out. You're probably not going to have Dylan Sampson do a whole lot. So, I mean, I think this has been big for DeShawn Bishop, because I don't think Tennessee is going to be very active in the transfer portal at running back if they have a solid guy that they can rely on. When Cam Seldon's out or when Peyton Lewis isn't going yet.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's big for him. I'd like to see him just because of, like, what he was able to do in high school around this area was so incredible.
Yeah.
That I was like, I don't know how it translates, but I just hope it does a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I want to make another DeShawn Bishop holiday tape, but I want to be wearing orange in this one.
Yeah. Facts. He has a knack for the end zone. I know that. He knows how
to. He knows where it's at.
Yeah, there's
no question.
For sure. Some more guys I'd like to see. You know, the young guys at receiver, Mike Matthews, Braylon Staley, just what those guys can look like. I'm sure they'll get a lot of run with, you know, Squirrel and Brazzle and dude. It's setting us up again. I've heard nothing but fantastic things about Dante Thornton. Shut I know up. He's playing a little different Stop position.
Talking. Shut but... up. Just let's get to fall. Like, that's the thing I hate the most about the spring is you never hear, oh, this guy's struggling. This guy.
Oh, dude.
Everyone's playing good football right now. Mm-hmm. Everyone looks good. I just want to get to fall.
I agree. I mean, like, every, like, highlight he's in, and I'm just like, oh, man.
The only thing I look forward to this Saturday in any spring game is the Gaston Moore show.
Dude, you know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, and I can't wait.
He's number gonna be one out quarterback there throwing darts. And after one, the game, Gaston he might be Moore. At Cool Beans smoking darts. You don't know.
I'll buy him a pack. NIL.
Yeah, he's a.
Is he a Cool Beans guy? Is that confirmed?
I don't know.
Okay. Would have liked him a lot more.
I just feel like a backup quarterback should always be a Cool Beans guy.
There should be a booth reserved for QB2 at Cool Beans.
Oh, yeah.
That just says QB2 on it. Whoever it is that week gets it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited for that. I can't wait till after it. They're going to be like, I mean, if Nico does like have to come out, like I think Gaston Moore can.
He looks. Hey, this is Josh Heupel's best coaching job. Is Gaston Moore's SEC ready?
Yeah.
Fuck up, baby.
Is that a knock?
Is that going to be a knock when these quarterbacks come out for the draft and be like, I mean, he makes Gaston Moore look like a great quarterback. We can't take anything from this guy being a great quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. I don't know if it's just I'm getting grouchier and older, and that's probably it. It's like I just don't even like really look. I look forward to getting to the spring game so I can get past the spring game.
Okay.
It means we're
like another fall camp. Yeah, another kind of like date. You're getting close to hurdle ball. Yeah.
Yep. Bingo. Bingo Ringo.
Yeah.
I'm excited though. Seeing orange and white. I'll never take one of those for granted though.
I'm interested to see, like, are the quarterbacks going to be wearing the gray jerseys, like, with the black jerseys, or what are we doing here?
They reveal some blue jersey.
If we come out with a blue jersey, I'm out.
Totally I wish out. They'd go green for quarterback again, and they'd get, like, a game one just to freak fans out, but also just to be like, no, this is just a quarterback jersey. Like what happened in the good old days of the green do not touch jersey?
Or just a red penny.
Red would be good too. Yeah.
Not even a jersey, just a penny.
I like that. We spent all our money on NIL. Can't afford just jerseys for the quarterbacks.
Yeah, we're saving up for all the technology that's going to go in the quarterback's helmet. We can't
afford. I think Josh Heupel should put the freshman in black stripes.
Do you think relaying the play to the quarterback, do you think he gets like the person like saying it, whoever it is, do you think like he times them to make sure they're like saying it as fast as possible?
Do you think that it'll be difficult for the person calling in the plays to be understood by Nico, or do you think they'll have a translator, or what do you think? Like, how are they going to do that? Do you know that callback? Did you know that one?
Yeah, I do.
All right, one for two, baby. One for two, 50%. One. Cool. Good. I was like, Landon's going to think I think Nico speaks a different language if he doesn't know what this is.
Now that every time like we do something bad on offense this football season, I'm going to blame it on the language barrier.
Yeah, stupid language barrier. Oh, are these people never heard of Babel? I mean, golly.
Oh. All right. Well, should be fun weekend. Hopefully y'all are in Knoxville and enjoying it. You got a good friend to tell us about real quick.
Yeah, guys, make sure you go check out Grade A Grounds. Grade A Grounds, it's a local coffee roasting company in Kingsport, Tennessee, owned and operated by two teachers in the Tri-Cities area. That's two guys who obviously care about education, care about the community. And that's why 5% of all their sales go to a nonprofit called Coalition for Kids all over the Tri-Cities. Anytime you buy coffee, that means there's money going directly towards keeping a classroom at Coalition for Kids stocked with the necessary supplies needed for students. Another bonus is the packaging, the labels that you see that you get from Grade A Grounds. Those are students drawing those labels. They're showing off those artistic talents. It's awesome. They work directly with those students, those teachers in the classrooms, Coalition for Kids classrooms, all based around a specific theme. So win, 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 win. Great coffee. Great nonprofit. And you get a great bag, not just great tasting bag, great looking bag for your kitchen. Make sure you go check out Grade A Grounds coffee. Shout out to Grade A Grounds. Good wait. I'm going to need it tomorrow morning. I get up early.
Do it.
I need it.
My first stupidity is Arkansas basketball. They already tweeted out the graphic of how many NBA draft picks Coach Callis had.
I'm only disappointed that they what was the one has been involved with? What was it? You know what I'm talking about? Has been involved with like 68 draft picks or 68
that was
national championships.
I think it was Jeremy Pruitt.
He did have a graphic, but there was another program. It wasn't Tennessee. That it was super
broad. It was like, has been involved with whatever, national championships or Super Bowls or something.
Mm-hmm. And like a lot of them, they didn't even like play on the same side of the ball that he coached. I forget.
Oh, I thought Jeremy Pruitt was at least all the defensive players that played under
him. It was. Yeah. The one that you're talking about, I can't remember who it was from, but yeah, it was like just a random, I mean, just, I think he coached some at Alabama. And so, like, every draft pick that was associated with Alabama during that time, they connected to him. Yeah, it was very weird. But, yeah, they said 58 NBA draft picks, 41 first-round draft picks, 27 top 15 picks. I don't know why we're just doing a random top 15. Not top 10, top 15. And then four number one overall picks. And it's Coach Cal and three guys that went to Kentucky.
Yeah, that's the most alarming part. Maybe, like, okay, mention that. Still weird, but okay, mention that.
With Razorbacks
like right across put them. You put pictures of Kentucky players in the graphics? Yeah, those guys don't give a damn about Arkansas. They don't give a damn about Kentucky. Why would they give a damn about Arkansas?
Yeah. They don't even know where Arkansas is on a map. They only went to college for a semester.
Well, to be fair, Santi and Josiah were in school for 5 years, and they didn't know where – Omaha was at, so
that's true.
That was my stupidity, other than the ones I talked about earlier.
Okay.
That was what I had.
I had the Chicago Bears. They tweeted a graphic from Stillwater to Soldier Field, and it's a guy they, I guess, drafted out of Oklahoma State. The background of it is Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, that was a great eye by you. Like, I wouldn't have noticed that scrolling through.
The only reason I did, I was like, oh, dang, there's a Darnell Wright. I'm like, wait, he didn't go to OSU?
Yeah, but I mean, I just would have scrolled right on past it. And just because it's you can't see the colors, orange, like the orange colors. You can just, it's white.
There's just a giant, if you zoom in, there's a giant T on it.
The moment you said it, I recognize the upper deck.
Yeah,
I saw you quote tweeted it or replied to it, and I saw it, and I was like, yeah, that's definitely Neyland. I wouldn't have noticed it scrolling. So that was a great eye, great spot.
Yeah, I'm kind of worthless at it. I see what I want to see, I guess. Yeah. You couldn't just Google Oklahoma State's field. I mean, it would have been a fine graphic. It just looks like, oh, there's Darnell Wright, so we can just use it.
They probably just used Darnell Wright's graphic. Yeah. I bet if you went back last year, it's probably the same graphic.
Yeah, probably.
Which is even dumber. You know they didn't go to the same school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have any more stupidities?
Just the people that were mad about her wearing a Kim Caldwell blue. Wearing a blue jacket.
If I was her, out of spite, I would never wear orange.
Yeah. Hey, I do want to give credit to Wes Rucker. He did have a funny tweet today.
He did. The only thing this isn't really a knock on him. This is everybody. I feel like Wes Rucker would have been the first person to be like, that's not appropriate. But it was a great tweet. I wanted to get out of stupidity before I asked. Did you know that he had cancer? Was that a public thing?
Well, apparently, like one of his last videos, he was like, yeah, I'm in great health.
Oh, so he is a liar.
Yeah.
Fact. I'm sorry. He's not a good guy. Never mind. I don't apologize.
Yeah, he's not.
I'm sorry to his family that has to deal with that. I hope this means we get a white Ford Bronco re-release. They can finally put that past.
Do you think the demand of them have went up or down since today?
I don't know if he moves that needle anymore like he did.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. He definitely moves the needle. I don't know about the Bronco. The Broncos, just the new ones don't look anything like the old ones. I still like them, but
they
don't look anything like them. So I don't know. I wish they would do a re-release of that model. Beautiful.
Yeah.
One guy driving down the interstate fleeing the cops ruins it for everybody, I guess.
Honestly, a great picture.
Oh, yeah.
Just incredible. You have any more?
No.
All right. I got one more or two more people to tell you about. Guys, it's never too early to think about football season. Tennessee takes on Oklahoma this season in Norman to welcome them to the SEC. Our good friends at Knoxville Tours have a great 5-day tour September 19th
is the 23rd that takes all the stress off of you when booking and planning an away trip. The trip on the Motor Coach Tour will take you from Tennessee to Oklahoma for the game and some fun stops along the way. The trip will include transportation from Oklahoma to and from Oklahoma, four-night hotel accommodations, and a dinner show at Cattleman's. Go cheer on the Vols in the Midwest. They will also be doing tours of Arkansas and Vanderbilt this football season. Give Knoxville Tours a call today at 865-688-6232 to book your tour and let them know more important issues seen. And then go check out our good friends at Roback. Just the greatest polos ever. Love them. Great Q-zips, hoodies, joggers, pants, shorts, whatever you want. They got it. They got some new head covers now. Pretty cool. Have some Masters theme stuff. Go check them out. Also have the Tennessee State polos that are some of my favorite polos. So go check them out. Use promo code More Important Issues for 20% off your first purchase. Guys, thank y'all for listening. Yep. Have a good weekend. It's going to be fun in Knoxville. As he takes on LSU, the orange and white game. Got a lot of extra stuff going on around the stadium. So be there or be square. And we're bringing the boat in and we out.